Thank you. Okay, good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So we're continuing this week in Meretz Hashem in Kapitol Nun Hei, chapter 55 in Tehillim. So just a little bit of a brief review. So last week, again, we got into this Kapitol, which the theme of it, of course, is betrayal. The theme of it is hurt, is pain. David HaMelech, again, once again, feeling betrayed in one of his life relationships. And we discussed last week that specifically this capital references the betrayal of Achitofel. Achitofel was David HaMelech's, one of David HaMelech's closest advisors. But we also spoke about that he wasn't just simply an advisor. He was also almost like a Rebbe or a father figure to David HaMelech. So David HaMelech, after having suffered so much betrayal from his own family, to suffer now another betrayal from this person who he regarded as a father figure, as a Rebbe, was exceptionally difficult and traumatic for David HaMelech. So we spoke about this idea last week, and we spoke about David HaMelech's ability to keep singing, to maintain a positive disposition despite this incredible setback and despite this incredible relationship trespass. So I would like to spend another week on this kapitel and specifically focusing on a few psukim. So if you take a look in number one, so I highlighted for you psukim Zayin Ches and Tes, verses 7, 8, and 9. Let's take a look at them for just a moment. So David HaMelech says, Va'omar, and I said, Mi yitin li ever kayona, aufa ve'eshkona. David HaMelech says, and I said, if only I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Behold, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the desert forever. I would quickly find myself a refuge from a sweeping wind. I apologize, there's a spacing error, from a tempest. So David HaMelech seeming to indicate, if only I had a pair of wings, if only I was like the dove, I would take flight and I would fly away. So what's the deeper meaning of these words? So of course, the simple answer is, there is no deeper meaning to these words. This is just what David HaMelech is saying. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. Life is filled with so many difficulties. Life is filled with so many trials and tribulations. I wish I could just get away. You know, we all have those moments in life where ultimately, again, all we would like to do is be anywhere but where we are right now. I don't care where I have to go. I just don't want to be here. So it appears that David HaMelech has a moment like this. Take a look at number two. The Metzudas David writes, says, we're going to see the Metzudas David, the Radak, and Rav Hirsch all seem to take a very straightforward understanding of these psukim. So the Metzudas David number two, Mi'itein, Halavai, Hayali Knafayim, La'uf Bahem, if only I had wings to fly, Ki as Hayisi Porech L'Meirachok, I would fly far away. I'd fly far away, Lishkon Sham Lihinatzal Me'ayvai, to go somewhere far away so I could be safe, I could be away from my enemies. What's striking about the Metzudas David is, David HaMelech, I think we spoke about this a little bit last week or in past weeks, in general, I think we spoke about this last week, by Vayetze. So remember, again, we discussed that in when a person travels, when a person takes a journey, so people journey for one of two reasons. Either people journey to somewhere or from somewhere. So what's the difference? The difference is, when it's to somewhere, I have an intended destination. My intention is to get from point A to point B, but the goal is to get to point B. Other times, a person is simply traveling from somewhere. I don't care where I go. All I know is that what? I can't be here. David HaMelech says the Metzudas David is having such a moment like that. He says, if only I had wings. If only I had wings, I would fly somewhere. Poreach le'meirachok. Meirachok means what? Far away. Far away. David HaMelech, where do you want to go? I don't care. It doesn't make a difference. I just wish it could be far away. Now you have to understand something also. David HaMelech here is referencing the specific betrayal of Achitofel. But understand, David HaMelech has enemies everywhere. David HaMelech has enemies inside the Jewish people. David HaMelech has enemies at home. He has enemies throughout Eretz Yisrael. And of course, he has regional enemies. He has external enemies. So in reality, part of David HaMelech's desperation is, if you were to ask him, David, so now where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? So David HaMelech, I think, would be hard-pressed to come up with a location. Because at the end of the day, for David HaMelech, there is no escaping his enemies. There's no escaping his internal enemies. There's no escaping his external enemies. But that doesn't stop him from wishing just for a pair of wings, just to be able to get somewhere. Number three, the Radak says, "Va'omar miyitin le'ever kayona. If only I had wings like the dove. Kinaf kimayona sheucha lo'of b'mokom shelo yuchlu lahasigeni." See, the beauty of wings, says David HaMelech, is I could get to somewhere where people can't get. In other words, at the end of the day, I could travel on my feet, but wherever I could travel on my feet, then what? Someone else could travel there also. But if I had wings, I could escape to a place where no other person could ever reach me. Rav Hirsch, similar idea number four. And then I came to wish that I were able to flee far away from any contact with men. So this is amazing. What David HaMelech is saying over here, Rav Hirsch is really adding this a little bit more. You see, if you look, there's a progression. That's why I arranged these Mefarshim as I did. The Metzudas David says, David HaMelech wants to fly away from who?
Everybody.
No, the Metzudas David, I didn't mean to say no. I mean true, but not this source, right? David HaMelech says, if you look at number two, it's Lihinatzil me oivai. So first, I want to hear it from my enemies. I want to get, the Radak says, I just want to get somewhere. Shelo yucha lahasigini. People can't catch up with me. Also, sounds like enemies. David HaMelech is saying, it's not that I don't mind people. I just mind the people who make my life miserable. So if possible, I'd like to just get away from them. Rav Hirsch says no. David HaMelech is saying something much more profound. And then I came to wish that I were able to flee far away from any contact with men. And alone, in complete isolation, to find peace. What does David HaMelech want? He wants solitude. He wants from who? From who?
Everybody.
From everyone. And you understand, when he says men over here, men doesn't just mean men. It means people, human beings. I wish I could just get away from people. I just wish I could be somewhere far away where I have no contact with men. And if I could indeed flee Achisha, then I would quickly save myself, and by breaking off all relations with other men, I would escape the storm that draws nigh against me. So according to Rav Hirsch, there's something much more profound that's occurring over here, which is David HaMelech is saying, you know what? I just don't want to be with people. I don't want to be with people. Now understand, that's a pretty dramatic statement to make. Remember again, you can't really be fully Jewish without people. It's an interesting thing. I'm sure some of you have this thought also. You ever, like, when you drive out to Beis Yaakov on the Smith Avenue campus, I'll tell you the thought that always goes through my mind, which is what? It would be so nice to live here, right? So nice to live out in the middle of nowhere. And then you realize, by definition, that's not a possibility for us. Why? Because by definition, we need to be in close proximity to each other. Why? Because by definition, I need a kehila, I need a shul, I need a this, I need that. There are all the trappings that by definition bring us, create that. That's why, again, Jews generally tend to settle in urban communities because it gives us the ability to cluster. Clustering, the Ribono Shel Olam wanted to keep us together. So by definition, the framework of Yiddishkeit is such that we cannot live separate and apart from one another. So for David HaMelech to say, I don't want anyone in my life. I just wish I was all alone. So what effectively is he saying? Effectively, again, I'm going to take all questions at the end. Effectively, what he's doing over here is, he's saying, I just want to be away from anything and everything. So why does David HaMelech want to be away from anything and everything? So first of all, the simplest understanding of this is not David being literal, but this is David HaMelech speaking from a place of pain. When people are in pain, they say all kinds of things. So when you've been hurt, when you've been abused, when you've been taken advantage of enough, the reflexive reaction is, I don't trust anyone. The reflexive reaction is, I don't want any relationships with anyone. I just want to be alone by myself. And by the way, you'll remember, about 5 years ago, we studied this before. You remember, right? Remember again, we actually spent, it was less than 5 years ago, right? In the capital of Mizmor LeDavid Hashem Roi Lo Echsar. In that capital, if you remember again, we spoke about why does David, no one ever refers to the Ribono Shel Olam as a shepherd except for David. Ribono Shel Olam is referred to in many different names, right? Many different names. But the identity of a shepherd That's a chatur. Now, we use that imagery, but we borrowed from Tehillim. So, right, we use that a lot in the Yamim Nora in Tfilos. But again, that comes from David HaMelech. But aside from David HaMelech, nobody really refers to God as a shepherd. See, remember again the beautiful Malbim. The Malbim said David HaMelech was projecting onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if you asked David, what do you want to do when you grow up? David HaMelech would have said, I'm going to be a shepherd. Why does David HaMelech want to be a shepherd? Shepherding is not a glamorous or glorious field of labor, right? Remember, it's very labor intensive. It's a lot of work. It's a huge amount of responsibility. You don't get too many thank yous from the flock. Hey, so what's the pshat? Why does he want to be a shepherd? So remember again, first of all, as an aside, it's no accident that all of our greatest leaders started out as shepherds, because shepherding is a wonderful training camp for how to lead Klal Yisrael, because we're a lot like sheep. What do I mean by that? That at the end of the day, so if you look at a herd of sheep, this one wants to go fast, this one wants to go slow, this one wants to go right, this one wants to go left, this one wants to drink, this one wants to eat, it's too hot, it's too cold, and it's the shepherd's job to keep the flock together, balancing their individual needs. That's why Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, everybody starts out as a shepherd, because if you could keep the flock together, then you have a fighting chance of being able to keep the klal together. But that's not why David HaMelech wanted to be a shepherd. David HaMelech wanted to be a shepherd for one simple reason: to be alone in the field. Ribono shel Olam, I am content with you. You see, what this highlights is an incredibly... David HaMelech had just, as they say, like, Mishunah Dukh and Neshama. He was on a different spiritual plane. For David HaMelech, all he needs is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's saying, I don't need all of this. I just don't need it. I don't need the relationships. I don't need the difficulty. I don't need the drama. All I need is you. This is the Achos Sha'alti Me'es Hashem O Savakesh. One request. What's the one request that David HaMelech has for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The one request? Shifty beveis Hashem, kol yimei. God, you don't understand. I'm low maintenance, David HaMelech says. I'm very low maintenance. I don't need a palace. I don't need fame. I don't need riches. I don't need all of the complex human relationships. I just need you. I just need you. And yet, Ribono shel Olam, you are constantly and consistently making my life so ridiculously complicated by forcing me to have these relationships with people, because as king, I have to have relationships, and one after the other, they constantly disappoint, and one after the other, they constantly betray, and one after the other, they constantly and actively pull the rug out from under me. So David HaMelech is saying, I'm done. I'm done. Now, he's not really done. You know, a lot of times in life we say, I'm done. Right? Parents sometimes say, I'm done, right? And of course, again, we're never done. Those are statements that are made in moments of exasperated overwhelmingness. That's not the right English, but you understand. So David HaMelech is saying, I wish I could just get out of here. You have wives, you have children, you have son, you know what? I'm done. I'm done. If I had wings, I would take flight now. Where? To where? Anywhere where human beings can't get to. I'm so, and again, you have to understand, for a person to make a statement like that is such a, it gives you a window into how hurt they are, into how much they feel taken advantage of, that at the end of the day, I wish I could just get away from all human contact. You know, as human beings, everybody likes alone time, but as human beings, we are social creatures. We're social creatures. So, you know, sometimes a person thinks, oh, I would just love to be alone on an island by myself. The truth is, if we're honest, for 2 hours, maybe you would enjoy it. Right? Maybe a day, maybe a long weekend, but then it gets just exceptionally lonely. We're social creatures. But David HaMelech, to make such a dramatic statement, gives us a window into his pain. I've been so undermined and so hurt and so betrayed. And meanwhile, all I tried to do is lead a selfless life. If only I had wings. I promise you, if I had wings, I would just get out of here. Not just from my enemies, like the Mesudas David and the Radak say, but according to Rav Hirsch, from people. I'm done with human relationships. Of course, that's said in a moment of exasperation and pain, but Lamaise, it's not true. But take a look at number five. The Radak says something quite amazing. The Radak says, so we're gonna start with number five, but then Amir HaShem, I'll explain it, but then we're going to develop it the rest of this year. The Radak says something amazing. Mi itin li ever kayona. So David HaMelech says, if only I were to have wings like the dove. So the Radak says, lama kayona. And by the way, the Radak's not the only Mefarish who asked this. Why like a dove? Why like a dove? Meaning, first of all, David HaMelech could have just said what? or wings. Just say wings. I understand the image. You don't even have to say bird. Just say me eating the aver. If only I had wings. I got it. I understand the bird imagery. Why kayona? Why like a dove? So the Radak says something absolutely amazing. Rabbi Azariah b'shem Rabbi Yudin b'shem Rabbi Simon Omer. Lefi, get ready for this. Shekala ovos b'shar sheyegein heinochin agav sela o agav ilan v'nispashin. Remember again, birds could fly a certain distance, but then they have to rest. So in the bird kingdom, so when a bird flies, at a certain point in time, it has to rest. So it perches itself on top of a rock, on top of a tree. Listen to this. Aval hayona b'sha shehi egea, but the dove, when it's tired, he kofetes ba'achas mi'akpeha uparachas ba'achas. The dove does something amazing. When it gets tired, it flies with one wing. It allows one wing to remain at rest, and it flies with the other one. So first of all, I'll tell you something. In case you don't believe the Radak, you can Google this. And I want to give you an incredible maramokom. There is a video. I saw this. I looked at it because I was just curious. I was just curious to see. No, because it is amazing when you see the Mefarshim have an understanding of not just Torah, but have an understanding. They understand the world. And the Radak didn't have Google. This is what he understood. I'll show you. Like, there's an amazing video on YouTube just showing how the dove, it's not all species of doves. It's certain species of doves do this incredible thing where when they get tired, they fly with one wing, the other wing remains at rest, and then they switch off. So the Radak says, this is the koach of the dove. That the dove, unlike the other birds who fly and then stop, the dove always flies. The dove never stops flying. Maybe not with both wings. It switches off. V'hi nitzolas ve'inon itpeses. And that's why the dove is not as easily captured as other birds. Other birds, you know that they'll come to rest. Other birds, you know that they'll perch at some point in time. The dove does not stop. So according to the Radak, David HaMelech is saying something much more complicated. So you could read the Radak into the previous narrative, and you could say David HaMelech is saying is, I'm so disenchanted with mankind. I'm so disenchanted with my relationships that I don't just want wings. What kind of wings do I want? I want dove's wings. Why? Because I want to get out of here. But I don't even want to have to stop to rest. I don't even want like a refueling stop. I just want to fly. I just want to fly and keep flying and keep flying and keep flying until I am away from any last vestige of human relationships that I have. You could read it like that. But the truth is we're going to see that the Radak, I think, is trying to highlight something much more profound. David HaMelech at the end of the day is saying, if only I had the wings of the dove. If only I had those wings that could keep me going, that could keep me flying when I wouldn't. So hold on to this Radak for a second. We're going to take a little bit of a detour, but we're going to loop back to the Radak. Take a look at the Al-Sheikh. So the Al-Sheikh again. So we're trying to understand. We're now focusing on the Radak's question, why the Yonah? So the Radak told us that the Yonah is unique in that it has the ability to perpetually, obviously at some point in time, I'm assuming the Yonah has to stop as well. But at the end of the day, its flight trajectory is much longer because when one wing gets tired, the other wing keeps flapping. So the Al-Sheikh writes, he goes on, it's number six, Mi'itin li'everka Yona. So listen to what he writes. He says something amazing. He says, Hayadua Batorah. Now, what the Al-Sheikh picks up on is the following. The Al-Sheikh says, he says, ultimately, Miyitein Eiver Kayona. Now, there's a difference between Ki Yona and Ka Yona. It's a group of ladies. You know Diktuk much better than I do. But the idea is, what's the difference between Ki Yona and Ka Yona? Ki Yona means what? Like a dove. Kayona means like the dove. Like the dove. It's just like it's the equivalent to be like the hey hayidia, aha. Aha in front of something means the, which means it's the definitive article. You are referring to something specific. So the Al-Sheikh says something mind-blowing. The Al-Sheikh says, if David HaMelech was just saying, I wish I had wings like a dove, he could have said, Mi'itin li'aver kiyona, like a dove. But it doesn't say that. If only I had wings, kayona, like the dove. Which dove are we referring to? So get ready for this. The Al-Sheikh says something amazing. Mi'itin le'ever kayona hayadua batora. David HaMelech is making reference to the dove. The dove. The dove the dove referenced in the Torah, Hi Hayona Sheshalach Noach Mehateva. It's a reference to the Yonah, to the dove that Noach sent from the Teva. We're going to reference something we spoke about a number of weeks ago. Shasholcha Lada'as Hakalu Hamayim. So remember again, Noach sent the dove out from the Teva to know whether or not the waters had receded. Uba'a Ba'ala Zayis Tarach Defiya. And it came back, remember, with the olive branch from a Rabbi Seinu. And again, Chazal said, Megan Eden Hivya. Where did the dove bring the olive branch from? Brought it from Gan Eden. Va'ama Bira'os Atzmo Boreach Betzar Gadol. When David HaMelech sees himself fleeing, remember again, because the context of this kapitel is not only the betrayal of Achitophel. The betrayal of Achitophel takes place in the middle of, or not in the middle of, in the beginning of the rebellion of Avshalom. So David HaMelech, by the way, is already running, just as important to understand. He's yearning to fly, but he is actively running away from Avshalom. So what happens, says the Al-Sheikh, he says, David HaMelech is running away with Sar Gadol. Mi'itin li'iver ki'yona sha'olcha ad gan eden, kilo ayisi ose ki'moha sha'olcha v'shava, raka ufa v'eshkona sham began eden li'olam ki'sham yanuachli. So the Al-Sheikh says something amazing. If only I could have wings like the Yonah, like the dove of Noach, which was able to take flight from the Teva, from the Ark. But unlike the Yonah, which what? Came back the first time. Came back, David HaMelech says, I wouldn't come back. I would just simply keep on flying. So now what the Al-Sheikh has just done for us is taking something dramatic and made it even more dramatic. Because now suddenly, David HaMelech is not just yearning to be like the dove, to have the wings of the dove, but David HaMelech is ultimately asking to be like the dove of the Teva. So let's explore this a little bit and try to understand what the Al-Sheikh is really trying to highlight for us. So let's take a little bit of a look at the story of the Yonah. So remember again, go to number 7. So this is all from Parashas Noach. So the Torah tells us, again, we'll just do this very, very quickly, because you know the story. So end of 40 days, rain stops, Noach opens up the window of the Teva. So what happens? He sends the raven, and the raven goes ahead and starts circling the Teva. So what happens? So again, the raven's not going. He sends the dove. To see, did the waters recede or not? So the Yonah goes out, doesn't find anything, comes back. Noach takes it back into the Teva. Waits another 7 days. Vayosef shalach es Yonah min ha-Teva. He sends the dove again. Vatavo elav hayon le'eis erev. And what happens? The Yonah comes back in the evening. Fili alei zayis taraf b'fiyah. It's holding the olive branch in its mouth. Vayeda Noach ki kalo hamayim me'al ha'aretz. And Noach knows that the flood has effectively receded. Right? Remember again, he realizes it's not just any olive branch, because the Mefarshim point out maybe it was an olive branch, you know, floating on top of the water. It was a fresh olive branch that he understood came from a vibrant, living olive tree. And therefore, by definition, Noach knew that the waters had receded, vegetation had begun to grow, the earth had begun to regenerate. Vayachal od shivas yom acherim, another 7 days passed. Vayishalach es hayona v'lo yoso shuv elavo. Then what happens? Sends the Yonah again, and the Yonah doesn't come back. What's the obvious question?
The obvious question. Didn't come back because?
Too complicated. What's the obvious question? Obvious question. Pretend for a moment you're learning this story for the first time. You're thinking too hard. Why are we given such level of detail about Noach's relationships with birds? Who cares? What is the point? See, you have to understand something. The problem what happens sometimes when we learn Chumash, especially the stories of Bereshis, is that many of us have been learning this since childhood, which is beautiful because we know the stories backwards and forwards. The problem is we're never able to look at them with an objective eye. And when you can't look at the stories with an objective eye, you miss out on all of the nuanced lessons that Kadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us. The Torah Kedosha, the Torah is a book, not a book. The Torah is a beautiful repository of law. The Torah is a work of legal, moral, and ethical teachings. That's it. The Torah is not a storybook. The Torah is not a Jewish history book. The Torah is a law book, moral, ethical, legal reality. realities. Anytime a story is included, it is only included because it has either a moral, legal, or ethical implication or lesson, which means that whenever you see a story in the Torah, you have to ask yourself one simple question, which is, why is it here? Now, I want to just show you something. This is Pasuk Vav through Yud Beis, right? So there are six psukim that are dedicated to telling me about a raven of dove circling, coming back, going out. Let me ask you this question. How many psukim are dedicated to telling me the halachos of tefillin? One. I read tefillin every single day, Baruch Hashem, besides Shabbos. Shabbos and Yom Tov. Right? There are certain activities of daily living that we do in our Yiddishkeit each and every day that are barely referenced or nuanced in the Torah. That we learn more from Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral tradition, than ultimately from Torah Shebichsav. Six psukim you're telling me about ravens and doves. Six psukim are telling me about the raven wouldn't go, the dove would go, the dove came back empty-handed, it came out with the alabash, it went back again, it went back, it didn't come back. Who cares? Who cares? Why is this necessary for the Torah Kedoshah to relate to me all of this specific information? But obviously, we know that what? If it's here, then there must be something to be learned. And not just something, but if the Torah is spending so much time focusing on birds coming and going, Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to teach us something. What's the lesson? So I want you to focus on one specific pasuk, and the Al-Sheikh already made reference to this. So number 8, remember again, this is just one of the psukim from 7. Vatavo elav hayona le'es erev, so the Yonah comes back in the evening. Vile ali zayis taraf befiha, it's holding an olive branch. Vayeda noach ki kalo amay me'alar. So the Medrash quotes in number 9, something amazing. Niftichu lo sha'are gan eden. Where did the Yonah get the olive branch from? So the Medrash says something dramatically amazing. The Medrash says, Kadosh Baruch Hu opened up the gates of Gan Eden, v'hiviyu oso. And the Yonah, the dove, got the olive branch from within Gan Eden. From within Gan Eden. What does this mean? What is Gan? Obviously, again, we know that when mankind was first created, we know we use the word Gan Eden. We use it interchangeably with what? Olam Haba. Now we often, our reference with Gan Eden is a place where a person goes after they die. So that is a correct usage, but understand, in its original form, Gan Eden is a place, is a physical place. Adam and Chava were physical beings who lived in a physical location that was called Gan Be'eden. Eden was the area, and there was a specific area called the Gan, the garden within Eden. So says the Medrash something amazing. That what was the, where does the Yonah, where does the dove get the olive branch from? It gets it from Gan Eden. So when you see a Medrash like this, right? When you see a Medrash like this, this Medrash is yelling, is screaming, analyze me, darsheni, analyze me. Because again, Chazal, understand, Medrash, there's a whole discussion in general about how literal to take Midrashim, but there's no question that Chazal utilized Medrash as a way to teach us lessons. Lessons through stories, lessons through cryptic statements. So Chazal are going out of their way to tell me that the olive branch for the Yonah comes from Gan Eden. So what's the pshat? What is that? It came from Gan Eden as opposed to Yerushalayim, as opposed to Lakewood, as opposed to Brooklyn, as opposed to Bavel. What does it matter? The point is that the olive branch is there. The point is that the world is regrowing. So take a look at number 10. This is actually from a beautiful sefer called Luchos Even. Luchos Even was written by a Rav Avraham Zuckerman. Rav Zuckerman was the founder of the Yeshivos Bnei Akiva in Eretz Yisrael, an incredible, incredible Talmud Chacham, and he wrote pieces on the parasha. So look what he writes over here. He says, "Bereishis Yitziras HaAdam, Hinichu HaKadosh Baruch Hu beGan Eden laAvdo l'Shamra." When HaKadosh Baruch Hu first creates man, he puts man in Gan Eden laAvdo l'Shamra, to work the garden, to guard the garden. But Adam sins, and as a result, he is expelled from the Gan. So unfortunately, again, we know this story. This is a narrative that is all too well known to us. Man starts out with incredible potential. Man starts out with incredible ability, makes mistake after mistake after mistake, until ultimately the world must be purged through the Mabul. Watch this. Al-Kain. Kaasher tam hamabul, hevia hayona lenoach, ali zayis migan eden. Get ready for this. Rav Tzuckerman says something that is astoundingly beautiful. Therefore, when the Yonah comes back, now again, the mabul's over, the Yonah brings back for Noach a olive branch from Gan Eden. Laharos lo es kocho shel ha'adam. The Yonah, the dove, who brought back the olive branch, was trying to convey a lesson to Noach. What? Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to convey the lesson. He's using the dove as the messenger. What was the lesson? Get ready for this. Yochal ha'adam lahaschil b'gan Eden. The lesson was a person could start out in Gan Eden and end up with a mabul. The message was something amazing. You could take Gan Eden and you could turn it into Gehenna, but you could take Gehenna and you could turn it into Gan Eden. That was the message HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to teach. Mankind starts in Gan Eden, and he destroys Gan Eden. Not just destroys Gan Eden, he destroys the world. The Yonah brings back to Noach a little olive branch from Gan Eden and say, Noach, you are about to rebuild the world. Right now, it's pretty desolate. Right now, it's pretty empty. Right now, it's pretty devoid of every little bit of Kiddusha. But you could take this Olam Chariv. You could take this destroyed world, and you can make it into a Gan Eden. Mankind could take a Gan Eden and turn it into a Gehenna, and mankind could take a Gehenna and turn it into a Gan Eden. You could take Gan Eden and turn it into desolation, and you could take desolation and turn it into Gan Eden. What does this mean? What the Medrash is trying to teach us is that mankind has the unique ability to take light and yet turn it into darkness, but also to take darkness and to turn it into incredible light. Now let's loop this back for just a moment. Now we begin to understand the narrative of the Yonah and of the Orev. You see, what the Yonah represents, when the Yonah goes ahead, when the dove comes back and brings the olive branch back in its mouth, what's the message? The message is, you can start over. The message is, you can rebuild. And even if you destroyed, and even if you messed up, and even if you've made some really bad life decisions, and even if you're stuck on a boat with the remnant of humanity and the remnant of the animal kingdom, if you want to start again, you can. Here's the branch. Here's the first building block from Gan Eden. You want to take your destroyed world and make it into a Gan Eden? Dig down deep within yourself and you could rebuild. You could start again. You know, going out of order a little bit. You know, if you look at number 11 in this, from the Be'er HaParsha, the Lola Verebbe says something amazing. We're just going to look at it outside. Actually, look at it inside. Skip down to paragraph Dalit. He says something amazing. He says, you know, every time in Rosh Chodesh, in Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, we say, Roshei Chadoshim La'amcha Nasata. Roshei Chadoshim La'amcha, which means what? Roshei Chadoshim means the beginnings of new months you have given to your people. So the Lava Rebbe asks a very simple question. Why does it say Roshei Chadoshim? Why is it plural? Why not just say Rosh Chodesh La'amcha Nasata? Right? We're celebrating the beginning of a new month. So why in the plural? And he says something absolutely amazing. He says, because don't think that Rosh Chodesh just comes once a month. Rosh Chodesh, new beginnings, don't just come once a month. When do new beginnings come? Whenever you want them. Whenever you want to start again, whenever you want to reach out and grab a branch from Gan Eden and start over and build over, we have the ability to start again whenever we want. And the amazing part is, there is an unlimited supply of new beginnings. There is an unlimited supply of Rosh Chodesh. That's why we say it in the plural. We say, Boshem, yes, I'm celebrating Rosh Chodesh now, but lest you think that this is my only beginning this month, I'm probably going to start over 5 times today. Forget about 5 times the month. Forget about 5 times the year. And that's the beauty. That's the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. That's why the Torah HaKadosha goes into such incredible detail regarding the dove. Because what the Yonah represents is the ability to leave the construct of your teva. What is a teva? What is teva? You know, we all create tables for ourselves. The teva is a limiting framework. right? The teva has dimensions, the teva has measurements, the teva represents the glass ceilings, the teva represents the limitations that we place upon ourselves. What happens? The yonah, the dove, takes flight from the teva. The dove says, I don't want this. I don't want this anymore. I don't want to be constrained. I don't want to underperform. I don't want to limit myself. I don't want glass ceilings. I'm going out to start again, and I can start again. And no matter how much I've messed up in life, if I want to create for myself a Gan Eden, I have the ability to do that. Now, it's true. Sometimes the Gan Eden we create for ourselves is not necessarily the Gan Eden we thought we would have. It's not necessarily the image we had in our mind. But sometimes, again, you maximize the Gan Eden you have, even if it's not the Gan Eden of your dreams. That's why the Torah spends so much time on the narrative of the Yonah. Because the Yonah represents the ability to start again. The Yonah represents the ability to start over. The Yonah represents the ability to take even the most compromised of circumstances, go get an olive branch from Gan Eden, and start rebuilding again. The Yonah represents not Rosh Chodesh La'am Chonasata, but Rosh Chodesh. Start over anytime you want. Start over as many times as you want. On the flip side, remember again, although he only gets one pasuk, the Torah also tells us about who? About the raven. And what does the raven do? If you notice again, what does the orev do? So the Torah told us, the raven just goes ahead and Vayetze yotzo vashov ad yivosh tzvami al panei adama. What does the raven do? The raven circles. Because in life you have a choice to either be a dove or a raven. You know what ravens do? Ravens circle. Ravens just simply live in the continuous loop of their past failures. They can't get away from their mistakes. They can't get away from their missteps. They can't get away from the things that they have done wrong. So all they do is they keep circling. Take flight. You have wings. Go somewhere. Do something. You could grab the same olive branch from Gan Eden as your friend the Yonah did. But no, the Orev can't get past his mistakes. The Orev can't get past his missteps. The Orev simply can't break away from the limiting nature of the Teva. So all these years you thought we were just reading a story about birds, right? And it turns out that the Ribono Shel Olam is giving us one of the most profound life lessons. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, he's telling Noach, you're about to rebuild the world. You got to make a choice. You know, remember, life is all about choices. The only place you will ever find the option for being pariv is in your kitchen. In the world, there is no pariv. You're either milchiks or you're fleishiks. You are either a raven or you're a dove. You got to choose a team. So at the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Noach, What's it going to be? Are you going to go ahead and circle the teva? Are you going to be the kind of person who constantly and consistently laments your failures, your shortcomings and your missteps, and you can't break free of the mistakes, of the grudges, of the animosity, of the hatred, of the hurt, of the past? So okay, you could do that. But you're just going to spend your life circling the teva. And we know people like that. There are people who simply regurgitate the same animosity, the same pain, the same hurt, the same feel over and over and over. I just want to say, take flight. You have wings. Why are you constantly just circling the teva? But that's an orif. That's what a raven does. Or it could be a yonah. And the yonah is when it says, okay, I've messed up in the past. I've made mistakes. It's okay. Rashi chadashim la'amcha nasata. I have the ability to go ahead and move. I have the ability to start again. The gates of Gan Eden are open for me because I know that as much as perhaps I have gone ahead and turned my Gan Eden into a Gehenim, I could take that same Gehenim and I could turn it into a Gan Eden. And now, by the way, if you loop it back a little bit, so the Radaki number 5 even becomes more profound because the Radak says, you know, sometimes, what's the power of the Yonah? The power of the Yonah is, he never stops flying. Now, sometimes, what does he do? He stops flying with two wings. He only flies with one wing. You know, the reality of life is that sometimes, as you find the courage to break away from the Teva and start again, you're not operating on all cylinders. Because sometimes, the mistakes of our past do leave their mark. Sometimes, the bad decisions we've made, the wrong turns that we've made, compromise us. And sometimes, as I'm flapping away from the teva, I've only got one wing going. I've only got one wing. But you know what? You could travel so far, even on just one wing. You could travel so far, even if you don't have one, both wings flapping, one wing at a time could get you far away from your Gehenom and get you on the trajectory, get you on the pathway ultimately to rebuilding your Gan Eden. And if we bring this all the way back, perhaps you have a different understanding of what David HaMelech is saying. You see, up until now, what we were focusing on is that David HaMelech was saying, "Mi itin le'ever kayona," if only David HaMelech wants to get away. Meaning, this is a pasuk about flight. You know, there are two different ways of dealing with difficulties in life. There's fight and there's flight. You, right? David HaMelech has spent a lifetime fighting. And I say, you know what? Hasn't worked. No matter how much I fight, I seem to find myself constantly in the same situations over and over and over. Therefore, flight. Get me out of here. Whether it's get me out of here, get me away from my enemies, whether it's get me away ultimately again from all people. But perhaps that's not what David HaMelech is saying. Perhaps David HaMelech is saying something incredibly different. David HaMelech is saying, Ribono Shel Olam, yes, I want wings. But as the Amshich told us, not just any wings, the wings of the Yonah. I want the wings of the dove, not a dove, but the dove. Which dove? The dove that took flight from the Teva. David HaMelech perhaps is not looking to run away, but David HaMelech is looking for the strength to start again. Ribono Shel Olam, can you give me the wings of the Yonah? Mi'itin li ever kayona, a'ufa veshkona. Bosham, give me wings. I don't want this to be the end. I'm hurt. And you know, when you suffer, we all know, there is no worse pain in life than the pain of relationship betrayal. When someone who you thought loved you and cared about you undermines you, hurts you, and even in this case stabs you in the back, there is no worse life pain. There is no worse life pain. It's worse than any kind of physical pain. The emotional trauma that comes from relationship betrayal is the most horrific pain a person could experience in this world. And it could be debilitating. And it could sideline a person from ever flying in. And David HaMelech is saying, I'm hurt really bad. I'm hurt really bad, and this is not the first time. Don't think that David HaMelech Chas V'Shalom is a wimp. He's not. David HaMelech is the strong. David HaMelech has unspeakable reservoirs of strength. But you know, even the strongest of people, crack. Even the strongest of people, you know, there's. I mentioned this one of the other shirim, the Ish Kodesh, the Rebbe Piazetzna. In Parshas Chayisara. So you know the story of the Piazetzna. The Kolomis Kama Shapiro was the Rav, was a Hasidic Rebbe in Piazetzna, which is a town not so far outside of Warsaw. And then he was taken to the ghetto with many of his followers and many other Jews, obviously. And he became like a Rebbe in the ghetto. And every single Shabbos, when possible, he would deliver a drasha. He would deliver a drasha, and those drashas were recorded. The Rebbe did not survive the war. They were found after the war and were compiled in a sefer Eish Kodesh. I'm sure you know the story. So in Parshas Chayisara, the Piazetzna says something amazing. The Piazetzna writes, you know, Rashi notes the juxtaposition between the Akedah and the death of Sara Imenu. Akedah, death of Sara Imenu. What's the nature of the juxtaposition? So Rashi quotes the Medrash that says that what? Sara Imenu heard that Yitzchak was almost shechted by his father, by Avram, and Parchan Nishmasa, Sara Imenu's soul just leapt out of her body. So the Rebbe says something amazing. When you understand who he's talking to, and you know what the Rebbe says? You know what the message is? The message is that even great people have their breaking point. That was the message that Piazetzna said. He said, even great people have their breaking point. The Rebbe wrote this in 1939. They were already in the ghetto. This was as a supplicatory. He was saying, you know, when you read the Piazetzna's drushas, they're not regular drushas. They're more like tfilos that are written as drushos. And you could see within his words what he's saying is, Ribono Shel Olam, Sara Imenu broke. She broke the pain. It was just too much for her. So if a Sara Imenu could break, what do you want from us? Great people might have a much higher tolerance, might have a higher threshold, but even great people have a breaking point. So David HaMelech also, we thought, has his breaking point. David HaMelech says, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm broken, but I don't want to be broken. I'm broken, but I don't want to remain in place. I'm broken, but I don't want to spend the rest of my life inside this teva of hurt, of pain, of anger, of negativity. Mi'itin li'ever kayona. Ribono Shel Olam, give me the strength to take flight, not like a dove, but to take flight like the dove. Give me the koach of the dove of Yonah. Give me wings like the dove of Yonah. I don't want to run away from people, just the opposite. My life right now feels like a Gehenna. Give me the koach to turn it into a Gan Eden. give me the strength to rebuild. Give me the strength to refortify. Give me the strength to learn from these episodes, to grow from these episodes, and allow me to find a way to use them to make me stronger. Allow me to have those wings that give me the courage to start again. Give me the koach of Roshei Chadoshim la'amcha nasata. Allow me to believe, like I've always believed, but sometimes, you know, when you're battered, so your belief system gets battered as well. I've always believed I can start again. I don't feel it, but give me the koach to feel it. Give me the koach to feel that I don't have to live in this bubble, in this cocoon of misery and betrayal. Give me the koach to once again start again. And we'll see as we go on in the kapitel. You know, David HaMelech's Tehillim are quite predictable. Why are they quite predictable? Because most of them follow the same basic type of format and standard, which is usually it starts out with something difficult and turbulent, but by the end, even David HaMelech cannot run away from being the eternal optimist. Even David HaMelech cannot escape it. At the end of the day, he is always hopeful. At the end of the day, he is always has the ability to believe that things are going to be okay. So he starts at the kapitel. And by the way, I just want to point out that I don't think that these approaches are mutually exclusive. Sometimes a person says one word, and that word has multiple layers of meaning, all of which are true. When David HaMelech says, "Mi'itin li'aver kayona." So again, could be that first glance, what that statement means is, get me out of here. But as time goes on, he has a bit more time to process. He realizes, what good is flight? First of all, not going to happen. I'm not getting a pair of wings, and I can't fly away, and I can't get away from people, because I'm the king. So it's going to be a little bit difficult for me to be the king in absentia. So that's not in the cards. Okay, now that it's not in the cards, those same words take on a different meaning. Give me the wings of the Yonah. Give me the wings of the dove of the Teva. Give me the ability to believe that I can start again. And herein lies, I think, one of the greatest aspects of the Davidic personality. David HaMelech is the personification of starting again. And starting again multiple times. And remember again, David HaMelech suffers a number of different setbacks. Personal setbacks, national setbacks, familial setbacks. But what David HaMelech has is the greatest secret weapon of the Jew. David HaMelech has with him the dove's wings. David HaMelech has always in his back pocket the dove's wings. And when life comes crumbling down, when literally again everything he builds implodes, which happened a number of times for David HaMelech, he straps on those wings, he takes flight, he grabs his olive branch from Gan Eden, and he starts building again. And that's the message that David HaMelech is trying to convey to us as well. David HaMelech, you know, the greatness of David HaMelech, there are many people who like to preach lessons. And that's great, good, many, many wonderful darshanim. But at the end of the day, even greater than the people who preach the lessons are the people who model the lessons. David HaMelech preaches, but even more important, he preaches through his behavioral modeling. David HaMelech says, I started again many times. I put on the dove's wings many times. I took flight from my teva many times. David HaMelech gives us the bracha that we should have the koach to do the same. All right, we'll stop over here.